This past June marked the bicentennial of the beginning of the War of 1812, a conflict not too many people know that much about outside of the Star-Spangled Banner and the burning of the White House. Certainly not too many Kentuckians know how large a role the Commonwealth played in the war, or if you're in the Jackson Purchase, that you're likely living in a county named for a War of 1812 soldier like Major Bland Ballard, Major Benjamin Graves, Captain Pascal Hickman, or Captain Virgil McCracken. To find out more, I spoke with Jim Holmberg. He's curator of special collections for the Filson Historical Society in Louisville. Jim Laxer is a political economist at York University in Toronto, Ontario, and he said that the War of 1812 should be more properly called Kentucky versus Canada. What do you think about that characterization?
Well, I think in one theater of the war, that's fairly accurate. In Upper Canada, that was a major theater of operations for Kentucky troops. It wasn't just Kentucky, but Kentucky provided more troops to the war effort than any other state.
I'm curious to know why Kentuckians responded so strongly to the call for troops.
Well, they were on the frontier. Kentucky had really just come out of a long, some 20-year war with the native peoples, with the Native Americans, to grasp and hold on to Kentucky. And then, of course, the Indians were pushed north into Ohio, and then by the War of 1812, really increasingly into Indiana and further west and north. And so one of the major leaders for the war effort, one of the big war hawks, as they were called, was Kentucky's Henry Clay. He was Speaker of the House. He and others were pushing for war. They call it the Second War of American Independence or Second War for Independence. And the martial spirit was there. And in some ways, it's kind of like in the early days of the Civil War, is that everybody thought, oh, we'll go off and fight. It'll be over within a few months. In fact, Thomas Jefferson, rather famously and very inaccurately, said that capturing Canada was just a matter of marching.
Well, after the war, there was a great deal of expansion in the Commonwealth. The Jackson Purchase was acquired in 1819. The Indian threats was effectively eliminated after the war. But I noticed there's quite a few of the counties that were formed after the war that were named for men who fought, or in the case of counties like McCracken, Graves, and Hickman, fought and died in the war. Mm-hmm. How much of a coincidence is that?
Well, this was a way to memorialize what people saw as heroes, as martyrs for the cause. And the three you just mentioned, McCracken, Hickman, and Graves, they were all killed at the River Raisin. And Ballard County was named for Bland Ballard. He was wounded and captured at the River Raisin, but he ended up surviving and came back to Kentucky and continued to have a long career here.
I think it's a grand total of 9 counties in Kentucky.
9 counties, 8 of them killed at the River Raisin, and then one, Ballard County, as we mentioned, named for Bland Ballard, who actually survived.
Mm-hmm. To what extent did the War of 1812 shape Kentucky?
I think, I guess in many ways it's kind of hard to say, but I think the War of 1812 was one of those, certainly a shaping moment for Kentucky, in that they felt that the frontier was now secured, the British yoke was completely thrown off, that they felt they were truly independent, that they had made a very significant contribution in men, in material, in blood, and that they had played a very big role in, at the time, thinking they had won the war. Now, of course, historians, as they study it later on and everything, it's really essentially was a stalemate. And it was only that grand victory at New Orleans at the very end that kind of allowed most people to believe that the U.S. had won the War of 1812.
Unless you ask a Canadian, they tend to think they won the war.
Well, they tend to think that, but I think if you balance it, it was pretty much a stalemate. In some areas, the U.S. could claim victory. In other areas, like the upper Mississippi Valley, the British were in control of a pretty good chunk of American territory. They actually captured more U.S. territory than America did Canadian territory. You can debate it, and I'm sure, getting the two sides so to speak, of U.S. and Canada to go back and forth. You may never get agreement, but most historians believe it was pretty much a stalemate.
Do you think down here it tends to get overshadowed, for lack of a better word, by the American Civil War?
Oh, I think so. I mean, you know, down here, I mean, the American Civil War is so big. And for America, it was such a much more huge and traumatic event. I mean, you're talking about, I think the statistics say that in the War of 1812, approximately 15,000 Americans died. And the vast majority of them, some 12,000, was because of disease. So if you're looking at about 3,000 Americans dying in the war, and most of them being Kentuckians, well, that's for the day. Well, that's pretty significant. But when you look at the Civil War, and, you know, we've for years and years cited about 640,000 deaths. Well, demographic historians have gone back and studied it, and they've now upped that to about 750,000 deaths. And when you have American fighting American rather than American fighting Canadian or British or Indian, that's obviously going to stick with you, where you have 4 years of really some pretty brutal, vicious fighting and dying. The War of 1812 deserves to be remembered, and certainly there are lessons to be learned from it still today. And I think, if nothing else, you know, even, you know, certainly for the folks down in the Purchase, which, you know, the counties that bear the names of some of these men who gave their life in the service of their country and of Kentucky, you know, there's a lot to learn from it.
Jim Holmberg is curator of special collections at the Filson Historical Society in Louisville. Mr. Holmberg, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.